Am I persevering in the faith? I'm sure you realize, of course, from that sermon title that we're going to be looking at our Hebrews lesson more than anything else. And the persevering part comes from the New International Version and the New Revised Standard Version, which translate the word that we heard this morning as endurance, as perseverance, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Where it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Which is very similar to running with endurance, the same kind of idea. And what we're looking at is, well, am I persevering in the faith? And the question comes out of the context of what was read for us this morning, beginning in Hebrews 11, verse 29. And we look at this list. And it's really quite astonishing, isn't it? By faith, people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab was not killed, even though everybody else was. We have this list of people out of Judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and then into the kings and David. We have Samuel. We have the prophets who, through faith, did all these things. They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions. Which is pretty impressive. Quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword. Weakness was turned to strength, became powerful in battle. People came back from the dead. And I look at all of these things. It goes on, these people who were tortured, and jeered, and flogged. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins. Were in the desert and caves, holes in the ground. And I ask the question, am I persevering in the faith? And I say, well, no, not if that's what it means. I've never had the opportunity to do any of these things, really. I've never been persecuted in any meaningful way for my faith. I've certainly never had the call to walk through a lake or a river on dry ground. I've gone wading, but I don't think that's the same. I've never had a kingdom to conquer, never had to administer justice on a grand scheme. I've certainly never been in a position where I've needed to shut the mouth of a lion. I've never even needed to shut the mouth of a dog that was after me. I mean, it's just all of this. And so I ask myself this question, am I persevering in the faith? The question that I think we often ask when we read Hebrews, particularly Hebrews 11, this great faith chapter. And we tend to say, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I've never picked up this mantle of faith left behind by so many amazing people. And if we were to just stop at the end of chapter 11, we might actually begin to wonder about our own faith. But as mentioned before, the chapters and the verses in our Bible are not particularly inspired. Well, we saw in our psalm reading the number of verses that came in the middle of a sentence. You know, like the versification and the chapterization of the Bible sometimes gets us in trouble. And here, because chapter 11 ends and then chapter 12 begins, it's very easy for us to think that there's a disconnect between those two, and there really isn't. If nothing else, the word therefore should give us a hint that on the basis of what we've all read, this should happen. And this is where we get some hope. Because in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's all those people that we've just read about and more besides, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the key. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about running the race with perseverance, with endurance, that's marked out for us. Not the race that was marked out for Samson, thank goodness. I'm currently reading in Judges in my own personal time, and Judges is not a very pleasant book in many ways, and Samson, for all of him showing up here in Hebrews, is not a particularly pleasant person. So I'm glad I wasn't asked to run Samson's race, catching foxes and setting fields on fire. I just sort of shuddered as I read it, and I realized that I have taken on more of a rural mentality, more of a farming mentality than I had before. But I wasn't called to run Samson's race, or Barak, or King David, or Samuel, the prototypical prophet. I was called to run my own race. And it doesn't mean that my own race, just like your own races, doesn't require faith. Of course it does. I don't know where you've been called to exercise that faith, but I know where I have. Heather and I believed that we were called to have children, and then we couldn't. It was nothing as dramatic as Abraham and Sarah, but we still had to persevere through that. We did. We had faith that we hadn't been mistaken when we felt that God was saying that we would have children, and we had children. It was a wonderful thing. But am I trying to run my race, or am I occasionally trying to run someone else's? If I'm going to persevere in the faith, obviously we're not going to try and run this race, the races that we see here. I don't think any of us has ever thought that we somehow are called to be king of the Israelites. Nothing else, they're a democracy now. We're not even called to be president of Israel. We're called to run a particular race that for us will require perseverance. And while we look at this list, and if we're not careful, we'll look at it and say, well, obviously, I don't have faith because I've never done any of those things. We lose sight of the fact that what we are called to have faith in is just as challenging as it was for them, because that was their race. King David was called to lead a fractious kingdom. We were called, as parents, to lead fractious children, because there really aren't any other kind. And obviously I never had the opportunity of having only one child at a time, because we started with two. But I've talked to people who have only one child, and it appears that one child can be fractious all by her or himself. They don't need siblings to fight with. Is that somehow less a walk of faith or a race of faith than David's? Well, I suppose we could look at it and say, well, that was a whole country and this is just a family. But as soon as we start making those kind of judgments about our own faith, our own race that we're persevering in, we miss the point entirely. Because it's not about judgment, and it's not about relative value or relative struggle. We are called to run the race that has been put before us. And tempting as it is to look at our race in comparison to someone else's and find ours wanting or find theirs wanting, I don't see that anywhere in here. What I see is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we want to look at something to compare ourselves to, that's where we look. And I think the writer of Hebrews was really onto something here, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because when we look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith, none of us is going to really think that we should do the same thing Jesus did, because we're all well aware of the fact that we're not God. We are not the incarnate God on earth. That's not our race. And so I think the author of Hebrews put this in there to remind us that we look to Jesus as a pattern, not to other people. Because when we look to Jesus as a pattern, we realize that what Jesus has set is probably beyond us. And that's okay, because he, while fully human, was also fully God. That he, while put in a fallen world, never gave in to the temptations of sin. And so we look to his pattern as the perfect one, and we work to achieve that. But when we're working to achieve perfection, very few of us are convinced in our innermost beings that we can achieve it. It's reaching towards a goal that's unachievable, perhaps, but is still worthwhile in the working towards. If I'm persevering in the faith, if I'm running the race that's been called to me, I might look to Jesus as the example of a perfectly run race and say that I am going to do my best to come as close as possible to that, rather than looking at Samson or Jephthah, or in the New Testament period, looking to Stephen, who was martyred for his faith, or looking to a missionary that we've known, or looking at someone that we go to church with. Instead of looking at these people, if we're looking for something to follow, we look to Jesus. Because he was the author and perfecter of our faith. And we look to his example of looking past the struggles of this race of faith that we're in. Rather than looking at the particulars of someone else, we look at the pattern that Jesus set. And that's how we answer the question, am I persevering in the faith? Because the I here is for all of us to answer, not just me. As I said last week, you're not just here to listen to me work out my difficulties, no matter how many times I might joke that preaching is a preacher working out their difficulties and you listening in. That's not what we're doing. We're asking ourselves the question, are each of us persevering in the faith? Am I running my race? Are you running your race? Or am I trying to run yours? Or are you trying to run mine? It's tempting. It always is, to look at other people and what they're doing and judge ourselves in relation to them. And there's nothing fundamentally wrong with this. I mean, it lets us see areas that we can grow in. It gives us examples of what is possible, because when you see what another human being does, we say, well, if they did that, then maybe I can. There's nothing wrong with any of that. As long as we use it as encouragement, as a reminder that, yes, human beings can run this race. Not look at it from the perspective that I'm ahead of you, so therefore I'm better. Or you're ahead of me, therefore I am worse. Because the problem with the race analogy, and every analogy has problems eventually, is that we're not running the race against anyone else. We have the racetrack entirely to ourselves. We're, of course, at least aware of the Olympics if we're not watching the Olympics. Heather and I and the kids, we watch the Olympics when they're on. We're not fanatics about it, as some people are. I know one of my coworkers was watching the Olympics while camping somewhere. They set up a cell phone hotspot. So they watch the Olympics. The Olympics are important to them. That's terrific. Good for them. One of the things that we see in the Olympics, or at least hear about fairly often, is highlighting the fact that someone who was in a race or in a competition of some sort, they may not have won, but they set a personal best. That's what we're looking for in this race more than anything else. Because this isn't a race against you or you against me. It's a race where we are trying to achieve the best that we can. And every time we get a personal best, because this is one of these peculiar races that's got lots of laps that we can look at and say, yes, I did better in this lap than in the other one. We're looking at personal best. We're not looking at beating anyone else, because there's no one else on the racetrack but us. It's our own race. And it's the race that we are called to run, even though there's lots of things that can hinder us. There's lots of things that can entangle us. The sin that so easily entangles. Well, I don't know what that sin is for you. But I'm sure when you think about it, there are some things that you find entangle you easily. For some, it's discouragement. For some, it's pride. There's all kinds of things that can entangle us in this race. And writer of Hebrews, so let's just throw those away. Let's get rid of those and run the race that we have been called to run. As I was thinking about this whole idea of a race, I was trying to think, what race is it like? And it's obviously not like the sprint. It's not like the 100 meters or the 200 meters, which are over in practically a heartbeat. I mean, my goodness, what these people are doing, women and men, is just astonishing. So I thought, is it like a marathon? And I thought, well, it's closer to a marathon, but I think what it's closest to is the steeplechase. You ever watch that race? It's crazy. People are running around, and then suddenly they're jumping over this thing that looks like a balance beam. It's this big bar. It's big enough for you to jump on and jump off, and there's water on the other side. You want, you land in the water, you're not disqualified. I thought maybe if you touched the water, it was bad, like knocking down a bar in a horse jumping thing. No, you're just wet. And I think the race that we're running is closest to a steeplechase. A lot of the race is just running on a track. But then every once in a while, we have these things to jump over and water to watch out for. We're always running. We're always pursuing a personal best in this race. This race of faith. But sometimes we have this barrier we have to jump over. Maybe that's when something that we believe strongly God has called us to doesn't work out. The job we were hoping for falls through. The health we were depending on falls apart. Whatever it might be. And that's like one of those jumps. Maybe on the other side of the jump, we realize we're running, we're kind of wet. We keep running. Because we're running the race we were called to. And the thing about this race is, it's a race that we know we can finish. Because we've never been called to a race that's impossible. We're not called to run with perseverance a race that includes flying by under our own power in it. We're called to run a race of faith. It's specific to each of us. We all have our own race with our own challenges. But if we look to Jesus, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, if we look to these witnesses as examples, not of what we should do, but that we can do what we are called to do, then we will finish this race. And every lap is an opportunity for another personal best. So when we ask ourselves the question, am I persevering in the faith? Let's look at the race that we are running on. Throw off any sins that are getting in the way. Make sure that we're not running in judgment against ourselves or someone else. Simply running this race of faith. And when we've done all those things, then the answer is yes. Am I persevering in the faith? Yes. Am I perfect? No. Am I getting every part of the race right? No, probably not. Is every lap a personal best? Well, I hope it is, but I know it's not for me. But I'm still persevering. I'm still running. I'm still in this race, the race of faith that we've all been called to. I know we can all answer yes to this question. Just a matter of dealing with some of these entanglements, reminding ourselves about our race instead of someone else's. And then, yes, I am persevering in the faith. Amen.